Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, yeah, I know we just prayed, but let's pray one more time. I love to really just give it all to the Lord, and that's what I'd love to do right now. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity just to go through your word, like Shannon was saying. Lord, just let it come to us. Lord, let it just speak to us, your people who crave this. Lord, I pray that you just speak through me tonight. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here and to be sharing your word. And thank you for everybody who comes here to make refuge what it is. Lord, we thank you for this family we give you tonight. Amen. So I want to share with you a story. It was one of my first weeks. I was working at this group home job that I had a few years ago. And I was working in these 2 8-hour shifts back to back. And it was just one of those days. It was towards the end of my shift. And there was 1 hour to go. And I remember the day was just super, super rough. Like everything that could go wrong went wrong. So I worked in a group home full of like kids who just, they would bite each other. They would bite staff. They would punch holes through walls. So it was crazy. And so this one day, I remember, you know, my coworker had been spit on and there were holes in the walls. And it was just like, I'm like, one more hour to go. Just one more hour to go. And I remember sitting there filling out all this paperwork. And I'm like thinking about like, oh man, it's going to be so nice when I get off work here. It's going to be awesome. And then all of a sudden, chaos just ensues when these kids are supposed to be in bed, and we go to see what's going on. Well, one kid, like, threw another kid's radio out the window, and so they started fighting and going at it, and so we finally calmed them down. I go back to the couch with this paperwork, and now I have more paperwork to do due to this thing happening. I'm like, we were so close. Like, I was almost there, and now here comes, like, another 2 hours of work, and then so I'm sitting there, and then the chaos ensues again, and this kid, I don't know what his problem was, but he gets all escalated, and he comes into the office where he's not supposed to be, and he gets all angry, and he breaks the ceiling fan, and so there's shards of glass that come down, and it's all over the place, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, this is an insane day. And so I clean this up. I put it in this dustpan. The same kid all of a sudden gets up out of his bed. He comes up to me. I have this dustpan in my hand, and he gives me this look that I'll never forget. And he just looks at me in the eye, and then with his hand, poof, and I watch all these shards of glass come raining down that I just cleaned up. And I'm just thinking, and my heart like broke because I'm like, I was so close. I just wanted to be done with my shift and I didn't want to clean that up, but I just got done with this chaos and I was at the end of my day. Have you ever been there before? Hopefully not in the exact same position, but you've been there before where it's like towards the end of your day and you're ready to just relax. And you think about it, you're like looking at your watch, you're looking at your phone, like, oh, it's 45 minutes, I'm so close. And you start thinking about that. Maybe you're a stay-at-home parent with your kids all day long, and you're like, oh, I can't wait for them to go to bed. I remember there was this one summer, my dad sent us to bed at 7:30. And I remember being so bitter, but now I kind of get it. You know, I see why he wanted to send us all to bed. Like, he just wanted the end of the day to be like, oh, yeah, I made it. You know, maybe you've been working your In-N-Out Burger gig for 8 hours. Like, I just want to get off work. I got that layer of grease on your forehead. You're like, I just want to go home and wipe this off and be done. And you think about the relaxation. Maybe you're a student. You got one last exam to go before the semester ends, and you just want to be done. You're thinking about that. Or if you're like me, you're at the gym, and I go to the gym, and I'm at the gym, I think about going home all the time. As soon as I get there, I'm like, I can't wait to get home and maybe eat some ice cream, you know? And so that's my reason for working out. But you think about these things, and in all these scenarios, that towards the end of whatever it is, we can't help but think about the earned relaxation that's coming our way. You know, you gave it your all, and now you're tired because you're at the end. You've done so much that you're burned out. You ran, and you ran hard. And you feel like, I deserve a break. I deserve this. I deserve to retire at the end of my day. We've all been there where we feel like, I deserve relaxation. I deserve this or that. I deserve to stop and take a break. And I understand, you know, we get there and you deserve to take a break from your job. You deserve to take a break from your kids. You deserve to take a break from running so hard. I understand. And I think this is why retirement exists. You don't see construction crews looking to hire a 70-year-old guy. Because they're like, he deserves retirement. He deserves a break. At some point, you got to stop working so hard because you're like, I gave it my all. I gave it my best. I worked hard. I earned this. And that's what retirement is. And it exists because you earned it. And this is all well and good. I think retirement from your career is a great thing, but the problem lies when we feel this way about doing things for the Lord. We kind of feel like there's this retirement age for the Lord. Like, I can go ahead and I can serve my hardest. The best years of ministry are behind me. Man, I was in the prime of my ministry at 23. Like, I remember those days. And you kind of reminisce and you act like the end of your serving time is, or your serving time is coming to an end. And you start looking forward to the relaxation and the rest. I want to make the argument tonight that unlike our jobs, we never retire from ministry and serving. This goes on. This is a lifestyle. The prime of our ministry and serving should be every single day that we wake up and the Lord gives you breath and you say, today is going to be my prime. And the next day as well. Because we look at Jesus, and he certainly didn't give some mediocre job of serving until his death. He wasn't like, oh man, the big day is coming, and on that day, that's when I'll show what people serving, what people serving is all about to these people. Every day for Jesus, he lived as a day to serve in his prime. And tonight, I want to tell you that while you might be done with your job or your career or your family or your hobbies or whoever or whatever that is that you gave all that you could, there is something that we all aren't done with. And that's retirement from God's service. We are not done with God's service. We do not have retirement from God's service coming our way. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to look at Joshua's life, and we're going to see that God called him to have a life. God called him to have a life, not just a season of living and serving for the Lord, but a life where there wasn't retirement, one where God sees an old man, and he says to this old man, you are not done. If you guys have your Bibles, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 13 tonight. Just a few verses we're going to look at. Joshua chapter 13. And again, I really want you to catch this, that God called Joshua to this life of serving. Not a season, but a life of serving. And it says here, and I'm only going to read a couple of verses, like I said. It says, now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old. Advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed. This is the land that remains, all the territory of the Philistines and all that of the Geshurites. And I want to stop there for right now. And I want you to catch this, what God says to Joshua, and what we know about Joshua is that it says that he was old and advanced in years. Where most of us will look at that, and our society will look at it and say, he should be done. You know, we look at professional athletes, and we know that they have a prime in their life, you know, early to mid-20s tops, and then they're expected to retire at 28 to 30, because we look at them and say, they're done. They've made it. They are old. They're washed up. They got nothing left. But what I want to show you tonight by looking at these few verses is that that doesn't exist here in ministry, where you look at it, you say, oh, I'm washed up. I got nothing left. That doesn't exist here. And we're going to see that even though Joshua here is old and advanced in these years, that God still calls him. And that's incredible. That we would look at this verse that says that he's old and advanced in years, and we would say, wow, that, how do you work through that? How do you do physical service for the Lord if that's what your body is? So I just love the conversation that takes place. It says, now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old, advanced in years. And I was like, God, like, why would you say that to him? Like, why? That's crazy to me. Like, there's this conversation that takes place. I think God's pretty humorous. He's a funny guy. And this is what he says to him. And Joshua's like, really? I'm old? No. Say it ain't so. I was getting my hair cut a couple weeks ago, and I'm sitting there, and I'm overhearing this conversation between this little girl and her aunt. And I guess she says to her aunt, she says, Tia, I think you're an old woman. And I'm like, whoa, like, I'd get smacked if I was a kid and I said that kind of stuff. But she's kind of pointing out what the aunt probably already knows. Last year, I was out front, like, I think tearing down a baptism, and this little kid who goes here from Refuge, he looks at me, he says, hey, you're short. And I'm like, really? You don't think I know that? You think that no one's ever told me that my entire life? Yeah, I know that. And here's Joshua, and the Lord goes up to him and says, hey, you're old. You're advanced in years. God tells him this. Joshua's at the age now when all of his friends around him, they're retiring, you know, they're relaxing. It's towards the end of their shift. They kind of checked out a little bit of work, and they're checking into relaxation. But why would God say, you are old, advanced in years? Why would God point out what Joshua already knew and what others already saw? I believe that it's because where others see, they say, oh, he's just an old guy. God's just pointing out one quality in Joshua. God's saying, this is what you are, yeah, but there's many more pieces to you. This isn't it. I think what happens in ministry for us is we look at that one thing that we might consider an inadequacy, something that we don't really measure up, something where we feel like this is going to slow me down, this is going to stop me, and we say, oh, you know what? Maybe I can't serve the Lord because I have this one thing. And we get stuck right there. But I think for God, he pointed out this one thing so that way Joshua wouldn't get stuck. Because it was just one thing. It was one character trait to Joshua. And Joshua could have looked at his age. He could have done what we all do when it comes to excuses in ministry. He could have said, I am old. My body does hurt. I have gone through a lot of things. Maybe I should stop. Are you starting to get this here, that sometimes we look at our traits, the places where we don't measure up, our inadequacies, and we start to use them as an excuse for never serving the Lord or for coming to the end of our shift when it comes to serving the Lord? We start to look at these things and we think, well, maybe I'll stop. But God points this out to Joshua, what he already knew, and I 100% believe that it was just one quality of many that Joshua brought to the table. And so we're about to see here, you know, the Lord just how he feels about his people, how he cares about his people. And this is what I want to bring to you tonight. But before we get there, a little background on Joshua, in case it's been a while since you visited the book, or maybe you have no idea what I'm talking about. When Joshua was a much younger man, God came up to him and said, Joshua, I need you to lead my people. I need you to lead the Israelites, because what had happened was Moses had died, and they needed to get into the promised land. They were on their way from Egypt. They lost 40 years out in the desert, and God said, you know, Moses is gone. I need you, Joshua, who's a young man, to lead these people. And God said to Joshua, I need you to be strong and courageous, like trust in me. And so Joshua leads these people, and he's supposed to take them in the promised land, and they're supposed to get to this land. But the problem with this land was it wasn't vacant. There are people occupying the land. There was already established cities, established armies, and they had to go in and have battles and getting the land and then divide it amongst the tribes. And so this man, Joshua, was called for that position. And so what we see is that God called and chose Joshua to this, and nothing is going to stop God from using the one that he calls. And so Joshua receives this message from the Lord right now: you are old, advanced in years. But he goes on in the end of verse 1, and he says, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed. Joshua, you are old, but the work isn't done yet. Joshua, you have done so much stuff, and you have fought so many battles, and you got battle scars and battle wounds, and you have battle stories to tell for days. But there's more. You're not done yet. There's still a ton of stuff for you to do here. And I really believe that God points out his age for him to see beyond that, for him to see that there is still work to do. There is still more. And again, I think that we get caught up right there. We don't think that there's more. We think, someone else can do a better job. I've already done that. I've done enough. You know, or maybe you start like looking at, you know, your age factors. And I don't mean like your actual age, but those things that you feel like are holding you back. You start looking at them and you start making these excuses in your mind. You start saying things like, man, here's my inadequacies, God. Here are my flaws. Here are my mistakes. I don't know a whole lot about the Bible. I never went to Bible college. How can I do this or that? I still come to church with little books of the Bible tabs because I don't know where the books of the Bible are. Some of you are hiding your little tabs right now. It's okay. I actually have them in this one, and I didn't go to Bible college, so there's that. But I think what we do sometimes is we start coming up with these things. But just like for Joshua, your mental and your physical inabilities that you might have, that doesn't exclude you from doing his work.
You aren't too old to serve on God's team. You aren't too washed up. And so the Lord gives him this list of all these cities he's supposed to go and conquer. And we don't need to read them all, but just look at that from starting in verse 2 all the way through 7. Here's a to-do list. God says, you are not done, but here are all these things for you to do. How? How is he going to do that? Why would God use this guy who's 90 years old to do that? Well, because the Lord's not concerned with your inadequacies. The Lord's not concerned about what you can or can't do. The Lord isn't concerned with your body's age. The Lord is concerned with your heart. And he saw Joshua's heart and he says, this is what I like in this man. It doesn't matter how old his body is, but he has heart. And that heart allowed him to keep on going with his older heart. It allowed him to be focused on the one who called him. Yet he was old, but God gives him this list of all these things that need to be conquered. And look at them, all these cities. It's incredible. Like, that is a long list. And if you look at just some of the subheadings of your Bibles, if you look back a little bit, it says, the kings conquered by Joshua, summary of Joshua's conquest, the northern conquest, conquest of the southland. And that's just what I see on this one page here. Here's this man who had already conquered so much, and his body was old, and the Lord still says, I have more for you. We're not done. We're still going. And that speaks volumes to me. Where do we get this idea that retirement and ministry exists? Where do we get this idea that, man, there's going to come a day in my life where I'm not serving anymore and I get to kick back and watch it all happen and see how the show goes? Where did that come from? It certainly isn't biblical, because we see how God called Joshua here to not throw in the towel and to not retire, but instead to take on this list here. And we look at this man's life, who had every right to retire, who had already conquered so much, yet he keeps on going. And it's incredible. It's incredible. But sometimes we have these excuses. We have these thoughts. These thoughts where we look around and think about, if you're Joshua, where you look around and you start saying, how come it's just me? How come I'm the one leading us into battle every single time? There's a guy over there who's 25 years old. How come he's not doing it? Why is it just me? And we've been there. I know that we've been there because I know that I've been there. When we walk in the church and we say, why is it the same 30 people serving every single time? Why is it always me? How come it's just me? And so we start getting these thoughts, these crazy thoughts, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. We can't have those kinds of thoughts, because those aren't the kinds of thoughts of a servant. Those are the kind of thoughts of the from the one who has a heart of entitlement. You start thinking, man, I deserved it. I was the one who worked the church picnics every single year, nobody else. I deserve to take a break from it. And that's the heart of the entitled. Joshua didn't have that heart. He deserved it. He deserved to take a break. But he didn't have that heart. Instead, you see that he has the heart of a servant. Because if you read on in Joshua, you see, like, it only seems like this guy was like halfway done with all the battles. It's incredible. When we have those thoughts, we want to give up. And when we have those thoughts and we want to give up, it's just an excuse to stop serving the Lord. And that's not okay, because it's too easy for this to become an excuse for all of us. We want to stop. We want to end something. We want to come to the end of serving because we feel like we did it all. It's not time to stop. It's time to keep on going. You got to take a break from ministry. I understand. Take a break. Take a season. But come back to the lifestyle of serving, because that's what it's all about. You know, Pastor Bill's been doing a study, you know, where he looks at the appearances of Jesus after the resurrection. And I was thinking about that and how it relates to serving. And I thought, wow, here was Jesus who suffered, was beat up, hung on a cross for hours, dies, rises again, yet still feels like, I got to go back to these people. I have more stuff to do. Isn't that crazy? That's how Jesus was? There was conversation still to be had for Jesus. His ministry didn't finish by dying on the cross. It was just the beginning. It's crazy. Not even death would stop his heart from serving and loving. That's one of the reasons why we need to keep on going. Another reason why we need to keep on going is because God doesn't stop calling you his child. He doesn't stop loving you. And as long as you are a child of his, you and I are called to be a servant of his. And last I checked, that doesn't end. That keeps on going. But we could come up with excuses. I am old. I have this inadequacy. I don't measure up. I never went to Bible college. I never did this or that. I'm beat up. I have nothing left. And we let this kind of thinking check us out of serving Jesus and check us into the idea of serving ourselves. It's the heart of the entitled. We also end up allowing that kind of mentality to really make us feel inadequate. We then start to see other people's gifts and talents. And we say, wow, they're younger than me. They could teach better than I can. They have more patience than I do. They know more about the Bible than I do. They went to Bible college. He went to seminary. And so we start looking at these inadequacies that we have, and we start seeing other people, and then we say, yeah, it's time to stop in ministry because that person over there. But look at Joshua, advanced in years. He could have looked at the 23-year-old and said, he's younger. He has more energy. He has fresh ideas. But he keeps on going. He keeps on going. And one of the very interesting things that I want to point out to you is that when the Lord says to him, you are old, advanced in years, those words come from mainly implying that there was a major loss of some of his vital strength. So it could have been something like his eyesight, his memory, his physical strength, you know, maybe ligaments and limbs that don't work the way they used to. Talk about feeling inadequate. Talk about feeling like there's other guys whose bodies function better than mine, who can do these things better than I can. Yet the Lord goes to him and says, Joshua, this is what you are, but there's still land to be possessed. There's still stuff for you to do. Here's what that tells us, is that God doesn't seem to care about your inadequacies and my incompetence. What he cares about, like we said earlier, is the heart. He doesn't care that there's someone better than you today that can do this. I know there's a better teacher than me, for sure. But God's using me. That's how our God works. And you look at Joshua, God knew there was a guy younger than Joshua could do this. But God chose Joshua for this. He still wanted Joshua, just like he still wants us to continue serving. Like we said, this isn't a season of serving. It's a lifetime where we serve day in and day out. Like we identified earlier, God cares about the heart. And the other thing that God cares about, and this is what we really have to catch here, is our potential. Because God sees you and I as people, and he says, I know what I can do with him or her. I know what my grace, I know what my power, I know what my mercy, I know what my love can do to that person's life. And he sees the end result, which is why he picks people who, like you and I, who have problems, who have issues, who don't have it all together, who didn't go to Bible college. He says, I see the end result for you. Because he knows the power that he has. He sees the potential in us when all that we see are the inadequacies. What if we did church where we saw the potential that God saw? Man, could you imagine that? In our inadequacies, though, we let our instability and our brokenness reign over the call to serve. We say, Lord, I can't do it. Pick her. She's better. I'm not there. You look at Joshua. Do you think that this guy had it all together? Absolutely not. He had issues, but yet still wanted by God because God saw a man who can continue to change through his grace, power, love, and mercy. And that's how he sees us. So for you, if you're questioning, you're like, I can't serve the Lord because of this X, Y, and Z. If he's called you, he sees the end result. He sees the potential, just as he saw the potential in Joshua. But the problem, though, like I said, in the inadequacies. Sometimes that will stop us before we even start. Oh, I see there's a serving opportunity, but I can't, I won't, I don't know how. And we never even begin. We want to throw in the towel. One of the things that Joshua tells him after he identifies his age and the things that are wrong with Joshua, he says, "And there remains very much land yet to be possessed." I thought about this afternoon. The land that is yet to be possessed. I think about the land around here that is yet to be possessed. I think about the neighborhood back here who might not know who Jesus is. That is a land that is yet to be possessed. Your neighbors who have never heard who Christ is, that is a land that has yet to be possessed. The neighborhoods around us, the ministries that have openings, that is a land that is yet to be possessed. What if we agreed tonight on this one thing? What if we agreed tonight that we are all going to fight through the excuses and the inadequacies and our incompetence, and we're going to say, you know what, I'm going to look past all that stuff, and I'm going to see that God is bigger than my issues. God is stronger than what I can't do. God calls, and there is no room for my excuses. What if we walked out those doors tonight with that mentality and that mindset? What would the church look like? What would the land that is yet to be possessed look like if we walked out these doors and said, there is no room for excuses because my God is greater than the things that I bring to the table? Man, that idea just blows my mind. Like, what would that look like? I'll tell you what it would look like for the church, us who love the Lord. They will look like a group of people who trust and have more faith in their God. That would look like a group of people who would say, there's no room here for excuses. There's only room for faith. There's only room to watch God grow. There's only room for me to see what God's going to do in my life. What would the church look like? I believe that with ministries, when it came down to the serving part of Refuge, what we do with our hands, the time that we dedicate to things, I'll tell you what it would look like. That we would need to create more ministries because every single one of our ministries would be full of volunteers. If we all walked out these doors living life without excuses and putting our faith in the Lord, we need to create more ministries. What would that look like to the world if we checked our excuses at this door tonight? The world that is so hurting, the land that is yet to be possessed, they would see a bunch of people looking past their problems and wonder, how do they do that? How do they function? Because you and I have friends who know your inadequacies. You and I have friends who know the things that you can't do. And if your friends who don't know the Lord watch you do those things, they're going to question, how are you doing that? When we check our excuses at the door, this world can change in amazing ways. They will see a group of people who do things with such love and joy and care for one another, because they've checked their excuses at the door and they're living on faith and faith alone. I believe that if we want this world to see Jesus, then we have got to stop making excuses and start making commitments to serving Him and realizing that it doesn't end. Our prime is every single day that we wake up and we start a new day. Say, Lord, I'm going to give you my all today. I'm going to serve with everything I got because that's what you did for me. I wanted to share that with you. I wanted to look at just these two verses in Joshua's life because it spoke volumes to me. And I hope it speaks volumes to you. Keep serving. And if you haven't started, start serving. Keep following. Keep doing stuff for Jesus because it's never time to stop. There's an entire land out there that needs to be possessed, and we have got to infiltrate. We have got to show them what this God of ours can do. I really hope you can get on board with this idea and let's serve with all we got. Tonight, as you walk through those doors, try your hardest to check your inadequacies, your failures, the things that you don't measure up with, check them at those doors as you walk out tonight. I believe if we did it as church, this world's going to change in major ways, and I'd be excited to be part of that with you guys. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for Joshua. Lord, how you continue to use your people in great ways. Father, help us to have that attitude. Help us to look past the things that we are and aren't, and help us to see how you see us. Lord, help us to change this world. Help us to just do incredible things for you. Lord, thank you for your word that never fails to speak. Lord, I pray for anybody in this room, Father, who doesn't know you, who's on the fence. Father, speak to them tonight. Grab their hearts. Lord, we thank you that you allow us to serve you. Lord, we love you. We give you our lives. We give you the prime of our ministry time. Thank you for allowing us to serve you. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.